Welcome to our podcast. This is Victor Fonov, and I'm the lead pastor here at Whitefields Church. Our focus is to help you grow relationally and spiritually. Enjoy the message.
The message for today would be the four T's. I was going to name it the four temptations, but the last one's not a temptation. It's a test. I'd like to open up to James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised for those who love him. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. And as I was looking through, I'm like, what kind of temptations are there? And the first temptation that I kind of came across would be the temptation of our flesh. With our flesh, we like to love ourselves. We like to eat. We're a little bit lazy. And it kind of just more self-centered emotions. And I would like to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and like. I warned you, as before, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. So there's two battles happening: the battle of our flesh, and then there's the Spirit. And those two, they conflict each other. And my biggest struggle at times is the battle with the blankets in the morning. That blanket, it hugs you, and alarm is going. You snooze it, and it's like as soon as you hit that snooze button, you just lost. I give up. And it's like, why? But when we are able to overcome that and say, you know what? No, I will get up. I will set a time to spend time with God. I will not be lazy. And John Brevere said, every minute spent after 10 p.m. is a minute taken away from God in the morning. And that's so true to me, that if I want to sleep in, if I want to not sleep in, but stay up late, do whatever, sit on my phone, it's almost impossible to wake up in the morning and to have that intimate connection with God. And it's in our willpower to say, you know what, I will not do that, or I will set a schedule, I will follow that. And God likes to see that when we are obedient to Him and when we are creating power to overcome our flesh. In James chapter 1, verse 14 through 15, But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and entice. Thank you. Then after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. And there's also another kind of quote I found online: your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Your character becomes your destiny. For somebody to want something, it kind of comes into our minds. Like, okay, I want to do this, and then we put action for it. And then what, after about 21 days, if we work on that habit, it becomes who we are and what we do. And here it's like, it becomes your destiny. That becomes your future. With our habits, what kind of future are we building? And at times, oh, it's so hard, it's so difficult. But if we're going on vacation, we're like, oh, I need to look good, I need to work out. All of a sudden, we're not eating junk food, we're working out a little bit more, because we want to look good, we want to feel good. But when it comes to the spiritual, at times it is so, so difficult. It's like, Lord, help us. Help us to overcome that. We want to overcome the flesh and be led by the Spirit. Next, I have is the temptation of the world. The temptation from the people around us. And at times it's even like our closest friends and family. You see, in like Job, he's going through a hard time, and yet his wife comes up to him and says, curse God and die. It's like, how? Aren't you supposed to be supporting him? But Job, he is keeping his eyes on up on the Lord. And at times with the different pressures of people, we need to sometimes pause and think, are we going to grieve the Holy Spirit? Because the agenda of the world, live life. Live life to the fullest. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you desire. No, no, no. We need to live what he desires and live by what he wants. And oftentimes the world will offer wealth and do this and you'll become famous and get the views. And many actors will pretty much sign their life away and their soul away. But it's like, no, we cannot do that. And Mark chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me, for the gospel, will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? No matter what the world offers to us, no matter what kind of temptations, nothing is compared to eternity. The third temptation would be temptation from Satan, from the devil himself. He is like the main tempter, and he is able to kind of steer people away from God. And he uses various tactics and tries to exploit the weaknesses that we have and then take the truth and twist it and turn it in a certain way that we're like, okay, yeah, maybe, in placing that doubt. In the very beginning, we see in Genesis, God made man and woman perfect, placed him in the garden. And the devil came up to Eve and says, using God's word, is it true that God said this? That you cannot, she's like, yeah, we will die. She's like, what if I let you in on something? You're not actually going to die. You're actually going to be as smart as God. And Eve was very convinced, and she takes a bite. Wow, check it out. I'm not dead. I am alive. And she's like, Adam, you need to give this a try. And so Adam's like, well, you're not dead, and you look a little smarter. Let's go ahead and take another bite. And then it's later that this happens, because when sin, here it says, is conceived, it brings forth death. And then later, it's only later that they find out, oh no, when the devil's like, my job is done. Then they feel convicted and horrible, and they try to hide from God, and they realize that they're naked, that they are sinful now, but they try to cover up with fig leaves. Now I was thinking about that, how many times in our life where Satan tempts us, yes, we fall, but all of a sudden we cover ourselves up with fig leaves, thinking God's not going to know. I'm going to go do some good deeds. I'm going to try and live a better lifestyle. But like when we come, but God, he's like, no, no, no. Adam, where are you? I still desire to be with you. But Adam is hiding around. And when they got kicked out or where they could no longer be in the Garden of Eden, it says, and he gave him garments, skin garments. And I'm like, interesting, I read that again. So their nakedness was covered, but it wasn't fig leaves, it comes from an animal. An animal had to be sacrificed to be covered. And I'm just like, Lord, sometimes we try to cover up ourselves. We try to do something, but no, we have to come to you. Yes, we'll stumble and fall, but God, please cover us. Cover us with your blood of Jesus. And it's just so incredible that the loving God can do that for us, even though the devil, he's a tempter, and he tries to trip us. But God, he comes in to clean us and love us. And like the Holy Spirit in us, he always knocks on our conscience, son, daughter, I'm right here. And 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same suffering and experiences be your brotherhood in the world. The devil always wanted to be like God from the very beginning. He was the angel of light and gets casted down, but he tries to take on the image of God. He walks around like a roaring lion, but we know the lion comes from the tribe of Judah. See, God is the lamb, but he wants to also be the lamb, but he's a lamb in sheep's clothing, looking to kind of take the focus away. And I recently read the Screwtape Letters. I don't know if anybody has read that by C.S. Lewis. And it's one of the more experienced demons writing to his nephew, saying how to deceive the patient which is the Christian, from the father below, the Satan. And I'm like, whoa, like that's relatable. When we are at church, he tries to get us our attention somewhere else. Yes, we're doing something good, but he's like, when you're doing something good, look somewhere else. When you're trying to read the scripture, let the phone go off. It's like, it's so interesting. I'm like, when was this book written? I'm like, 1940. I'm like, that was 83 years ago. Yeah, the devil's tactics haven't changed. But if we steadfast, we stand in God and resist him, he will flee. He will have no power. Yeah, in James chapter 4:7, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And the last T is going to be not a temptation, it'll be a test. James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God could not. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anybody. So amazing that God will never try to trip us or make us fall. God's there to help us be a better person. He'll test us in our faithfulness, in our patience, in our finances. How loyal are we? And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now that thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom you've loved, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him for the burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. And Abraham knew that it wasn't just that the devil sending these thoughts. It was God speaking to him. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, you just spoke with Abraham that you were going to give him generations like the stars, like the sand. And Abraham, in full obedience, says, God, okay. After waiting 100 years for the son, he's like, okay, yes, of course, God. I'm like, God, help me be like Abraham, that I'm able to say, you know what? What you gave, you will take away, but you will bless me greatly. And then also, God will test us in our finances and says, we can also test God. And I've tested God in my finances multiple times. You know, and then in Malachi chapter 3:10, you know, test God, you know, test me. And so as we were moving to Florida and I'm flying back and forth because I'm still working here, I'm like, God, I will test you. You know, I have a truck that needs to sell. I'm like, God, how about I help you make some easy money? I'll give you $1,000 if this truck sells. I even lower down the price. And I'm like, I'm going to test God. He's going to come through. This is going to be good. A week goes by. I'm at the airport. I get a few texts from Marketplace. I'm like, okay, he's going to come through. No, I fly in, nothing. I'm frustrated. I delete the truck off Marketplace. I'm like, God, like, I'm trying to help you out. And then Pastor Vic calls a few days later. It's like, hey, we're praying for your family. God wants to answer one of your needs. And I'm like, I don't have any needs. And I'm like, I wish that truck was supposed to, because that would have been a need that could have been answered. And And she's like, no, he's like, he will answer. And I'm like, I don't really have one, but if he will answer, he will answer. And 2 hours later, I get a phone call. And he's like, is your truck still for sale? And I'm like, how'd you get my number? Like, what's going on? He's like, we have a post on the Craigslist. And I'm like, oh, that was like a month ago. And the price was like double. And he's like, I want to come and pick it up right now. So I call my brother and he sells it. And I'm like, whoa, that was amazing. A few weeks later, I'm hiking up Lazy Mountain, praising God, and God's like, "Where's my $1,000?" And I'm like, God, that was, but I already flew out, and he's like, you wanted to make it easy for me, but I had much greater plans. I wanted you to have way more than what you were trying to sell it for. And I'm like, God, that money is yours, and wow, like, what a greedy, selfish person. But that's who we are as humans. And it's like, sometimes we try to test God. And God's like, don't put me to a test like that. He's like, don't put me in a box. Like, let me lead you. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 27, 21, the crucible of silver and the furnace for gold. And Habakkuk writes also in chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor the fruit be on the vine, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will be joyful, and I will joy in the Lord of God, my salvation. So this prophet, he's like, God, if everything is stripped away from me, I will still be joyful. And I'm like, man, that would be hard. But I'm like, if that would happen in my life, yeah, I mean, God gave and God took, just like Job, you know, may the name of the Redeemer be glorified. But once that comes to our life, it's kind of a different story. Yeah. So we just bought our first duplex. No, we sold our house, did a remodel. It's a tiny little place, you know, 1970s place. We just finished, moved in on Friday. My wife's like, let's repaint the outside. I'm like, okay, that's the last thing I'm doing. We repainted. It was, you know, Saturday at like noon. And I'm taking off the tape and I fall in. Well, not in, but like my ladder hits and breaks through the tenant's window. And I'm like, man, it's not a good feeling. And then my daughter's like, Dad, there's something happening in the backyard. There's a volcano. And I'm like, run over there. I mean, this is like minutes in between. And there's the septic pipe next to the duplex. And it's just spewing. It's going. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, what else could happen? Like, this is the worst of it. Nope. My wife is just yelling for my name. And I'm like, man, I hope she's all right. I run in. She's like, something's in the bathroom. And the whole bathroom is shaking. And I'm like, what's happening? I try to open it. I can't open it. I'm like, oh, no. We bought a brand new washer and dryer. And I didn't remove the pins to hold the drum. So now the washer and dryer has come out, blocked the doorway. I had to break it through, open it, because I see water coming out. As it walked out, it ripped the water lines from the wall. The whole house is getting flooded. And I'm like, I'm not going to say what else can go wrong at this point. I'm just like, okay. We start cleaning up, mopping everything up. And I, you know, call people up to look at the septic. And they're like, it's going to be like $30,000. New septic tank. It's 30 years old. Leach fields are probably done. Plan on 30 or more plus landscaping. I call it mitigation. And they're like, be about $10,000 to get the water out, dry the place out. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, we just bought this place, kind of used up our finances to do everything. I'm like, Lord, it's Saturday night. Like, and I'm a nervous man. I'm already getting nauseous. I'm getting sick to the point where I'm like, I don't know what to do. And Sunday morning comes and I'm like, do I even go to church? It's tough. And I come to church and I mean, I was sobbing all night, you know, just eyes are red. And as Aaron's like, is everything all right? I'm like, I can't even speak. And there was a song that was being sung in worship in Russian that, come and hug us all, unite us in one prayer, and bring your peace, your holy peace upon our hearts. And I just started weeping. I'm like, God, if that's true, please give me a hug. This biggest, warmest feeling came on. And I'm like, God, I release everything onto you. I know I'm going through this struggle. I'm losing. It feels like I've lost everything at this point. I'm trying to be a smart adult and buying a duplex and selling my home. And I just start worshiping God. And all of a sudden, I was so happy and excited. I come home and I'm smiling. I'm like, it's all going to be all right. And my wife's like, no, you're crazy. Like, we need to get stuff taken care of. And like, I put it all in God's hands. And she's like, well, we actually have to do some action as well. And I'm like, and as we're talking, my friend pulls in the driver and he's like, I heard your house got flooded. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I own a mitigation company. You obviously have insurance. I'm like, yeah. He called the insurance company. He's like, you know what? We will take care of everything. We'll help you remodel. You, no worries. You don't have to pay us anything. And I'm like, wow. Another guy pulls in. He's like, sorry, I wasn't able to make it out today. Let's take a look at your septic. I know it's Sunday, but this is an emergency. Does all the tests. He's like, I think you just need to pump it. Royal Flush came out, pumped it. They ran the lines. He's like, everything is good. It just needs to be pumped. And I'm like, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, like that is so amazing. God, like, it could have been like, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to praise God. Forget it. Like, now I'm in a worse situation than I ever am. But God's like, I desire that worship. Yes. Yes. And in Malachi chapter 3, verse 3, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will sit as a refiner. So these ladies, they were going over this verse and they called up a silversmith and they're like, how, like, we want to know what the process is of this refinery. Like, what does that mean? He's like, oh yeah, please come watch me. So he gets the silver. And he's like, it's very important to place the silver on the hottest point. And he's holding it there, and they're like, well, aren't you going to leave it there? He's like, oh no, I have to keep a really, really close eye on it. Because I have to watch for all the imperfections to burn out. Because if I hold it there for too long, it'll ruin it. So they're like, well, how do you know when it's like, when I see my reflection in it? So God will tempt us, but he will hold us there until all the impurity is gone. And when he can see his reflection. And I'm just like, that is so good. I'm like, God, you are so amazing that you're not just going to leave us and hope that everything's going to happen. And so I know you are there. Yeah. And we were always raised in awesome, good family. And my dad always had his war room. And he never forced us to go and pray and you need to find time with God. He never did that. He simply just led by example. And growing up, I had my prayer room, my war room, I should say, and I got married. Life was great. We were about 6 months pregnant, and I started dabbling different businesses, opened up a lawn care business, and it's taking off. I mean, I'm signing contract after contract. We even signed a large commercial contract, and I'm like, dude, we're living good. I'm working I'm working late nights, getting employees, and it's getting so excited, and it was exactly 7 years ago, is July 4th weekend was coming up. My wife's like, let's go somewhere special. You know, we can afford it. We can go. Maybe let's go to New York. We start looking at New York, and she's like, well, it wouldn't hurt to look on Google Maps and flights further. Like, London. She's like, flights to London from Seattle are $120. Seattle to London. But she's like, we have to be at the airport in 2 hours. We quickly back up and go, and at this point of my life, you know, I wasn't going to the war room. I've snoozed that alarm clock several times. That habit was no longer there. No longer had the desire. But God, he still wanted to have that desire with me. As we're flying out, we're like, well, shoot, why not? We see the other countries. So we book Barcelona, Paris, Italy, and we just... Flights are $30 in between each city. Why not? We come to bar. I made sure that my phone was working. They know people can get a hold of me. Well, guess what? We fly in, London a couple of days, and Barcelona, the phone gets stolen in Barcelona. So we're like, well, shoot. Well, we are going to live carefree then. That's okay. That happens. And we went and toured the different cities, and our last one was Rome. I don't know if anybody's been to Rome, but when you, especially near the Colosseum, there's all the people throwing stuff on you, necklaces, this, and oh, it's your wife, she's pregnant, here's a gift, and like, €20? And it's like, no, and then they surround you, and it's like, okay, here's some money, and I had my money stashed in a certain place of my backpack, because when we left, we're like, let's only grab cash. We're not grabbing cards, nothing. We're only grabbing cards so because we're responsible adults. We have our budget, and it's going to be very strict. And then we get to our double-decker bus. We had an attraction. I go in to pay. The money is gone. The only thing I have left in my pocket is the subway card. And we fly out the next day. So I'm like, I guess our trip just ended a lot sooner. Luckily, it wasn't much money, but it was all of it. And so we head back to the airport to London, stand in line, like whatever, like still a great trip. Despite that everything happened, and we stand in line like, sorry, your tickets are sold. We're like, what do you mean? Booking.com, here's our reservation. We try to call your phone, but we have to reschedule you. You have to go to the next airport. You do that, so we go to the next airport. We stand in line. Yes, they called in. They have two tickets. So we come up like, we have one ticket, and I'm like, go back. And we're going back and forth, and I'm just getting angry and frustrated. Like, oh, it's almost 2 days, no sleep now. And finally, like, they're like, no, you just have to buy new tickets. And I'm like, well, I don't have anything with me. So the shame of calling your parents. Can you bail us out? We need tickets. And the lady's like, yeah, we have tickets to Vancouver. Great. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead and book them. Let's go. She's like, Canada. And I'm like, okay. That's still closer to Alaska. And so as we're on the like talking with parents and they're like, why haven't you been picking up your phone? The lawns aren't being done. People are dropping you. We lost our commercial contract. We're losing 90% of all that. And I'm just like, what is happening in my life? And as we're flying on this international flight, I'm like, God, why? And God's like, what do you mean? Why? Where were you? I have desired to have this communication with you. I haven't seen you in the prayer room. And he's like, I gave you all of this, and now I have to take it away because you've lost that connection with me. And I was just wept and cried. And I'm like, I can't wait to come home, to wake up at 5 a.m. and to have that communication with God. And blessed is the man who endures temptations. And when he's approved, he will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to him. And I just want for us to rise up and say, God, please forgive us. Maybe where we were tempted and we weren't able to resist. But then, God, also help us to resist the devil and to overcome any temptations. And then the temptation that he sends us, for us to only grow closer and be near God. That's my word for today. May you guys be blessed.
Thank you for listening to our message. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, please visit whitefieldsalaska.com. Thank you.